Palestinians accessing designated aid trucks full of food for hungry Gazans. Over 100 were murdered and many more were injured. The massacre has been met with global condemnation of the Zionist regime, which has deflected and denied accusations of opening fire, despite documented footage of Israeli regime troops doing exactly that. Airdrops are a last resort for dispersing aid. They are ineffective, uncoordinated, and ultimately unable to predict exactly where the aid will land. Consider this with the fact that if Zionist troops are willing to open fire on designated air trucks, traveling to a parachuted pellet is even more dangerous. Many have criticized King Abdullah II for using these aid drops as a self-serving and self-promotional opportunity, particularly because, in contrast to Palestinian aid, the Jordanian regime has not restricted any economic activity with the Zionist regime. In fact, it has surged. Though Jordan is not part of the Abraham Accords, it is in practice a state that has normalized economic and some political ties with the Tel Aviv regime. So much so that, despite the carnage in Gaza since October 7th, Jordanian exports to the Zionist regime have increased, with no signs of boycott or sanctions to condemn what's unfolding in the besieged strip. Jordan and the Zionist regime have been the beneficiaries of economic cooperation brokered by Arab regimes such as the UAE, which signed the Abraham Accords. For example, Jordan and the Zionist regime have partnered in an unpopular energy deal meant to further a process of normalization between them. There is also the shocking export of fruits and vegetables from Jordan to the occupied territories. Media source Arabi Post revealed that Jordan was the second highest exporter of most fruits and vegetables to the Israeli-occupied territories from October 7, 2023 to February 11, 2024, second only to Turkey. These two countries constitute 55% of total fruits and vegetables that the Zionist regime imported globally. Even more insultingly, Jordan is the final leg of the land corridor set up by some traitorous Arab states to circumvent the blockade enacted by Yemen in solidarity with Gaza. The reality is stark. While Gazans have to rush to airdropped pallets as they starve, often while dodging Israeli sniper and tank fire, Zionist settlers get Jordanian commodities delivered right to their markets for easy consumption. The Jordanian regime is in one of the best positions to hold the Zionist entity. It shares a massive border with the occupied territories, controls a chunk of imports Israel receives from the east, and produces commodities for the occupation entity. Yet Jordan instead works hand in hand with the Zionist regime to coordinate airdrops that are ineffective for Gazans, who are facing genocide, all the while working against resistance factions by hosting U.S. military bases and allowing its roads to deliver products to the Zionist entity. It cannot be overstated that we must separate the Jordanian regime from the Jordanian people. Jordanians have rallied for Gaza from Amman to the occupied Palestine border, calling an end to the occupation and their government's normalization with the Zionist entity. Furthermore, they are protesting their government's trade routes with the occupying entity, even forming human chains to block the land corridor created to sustain Israel. Finally, we must reckon with the most obvious reality. King Abdullah II and the Jordanian Air Force could not have had their photo shoot opportunity without the blessing of the US and the Zionist regime, which ultimately means that these airdrops play into the very hands of the Zionist regime. By allowing for ineffective airdrops, Israel, who is facing allegations of genocide at the International Court of Justice, can simply say they are not committing genocide because they allow countries to help aid the starving Palestinians. Meanwhile, the same aid that is dropped is either impossible to reach or Palestinians must risk their lives under gunfire and starvation to obtain it. It is a mix of political and media manipulation meant to obscure the reality on the ground. Access to aid is systematically prevented as Gazans are being starved and hospitals are being shut down. Jordan is ideally placed to put an end to Israeli bloodthirst, but it seems the king has prioritized flashy videos and normalization over the fate of the Palestinian people and the region.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two Islamic researchers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Habib and Sheikh Rouhani. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Habib, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about preparations made for the holy month of Ramadan before its arrival. Are there any recommendations or not? Brother Habib, usually two holy months of Rajab and Sha'ban are the preparing grounds for the holy month of Ramadan. But are there any special recommendations or preparations before getting into the holy month of Ramadan or not?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. There is this specific action of fasting before the month of Ramadan and connecting it with the month of Shahr Ramadan. And other than that, specific narrations on this case are not available. There is the khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi on the last Friday of Sha'ban, where he recited this khutbah, or this ceremony, this speech, where he talked about the month of Ramadan, and pretty much putting the people spiritually, mentally, in preparation for this holy month. Another thing to do, which I love to do and recommend my brothers and sisters to do, is to open the book called Sahif al-Sajjadiyya. Supplication number 44 and number 45. Number 44 is a supplication for entering the month of Ramadan. In it, Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam gives the knowledge of what is this month. And in it, you will see how he describes this month. And narration 45, or dua supplication 45,
yes,
is to farewell, bidding farewell to the month of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. And in it also, you see the descriptions, mm-hmm, even though it's the beginning, you still have not entered, yes, it's for the farewell. But read the descriptions of what you're supposed to live.
How you're missing it.
How you're supposed to do,
yes,
in this holy month. Yes. In it, it says that it's a month of blessing, month of mercy, month of action. This month is a month where we put our struggles in.
Yes.
This is the month where we're supposed to,
yes,
you know, give it our all, uh-huh, to struggle in, to put our sweat and blood in,
okay,
and doing actions. Okay. It's not a month, you know, to take to relax.
Yes.
That month is, inshallah ta'ala, yes, the following month after Eid.
Okay.
Take inshallah a couple of days off.
That's right. But Sheikh Rouhani, it is not true to have an abrupt or sudden start on the holy month of Ramadan, isn't it? I mean, for example, tomorrow it is mentioned that, and it is pronounced that is the first day of the holy month of Ramadan. And now, on the first day, you want to know, okay, what to do, what not to do. This is usually only abstaining from eating and drinking. Serious preparations for the holy month of Ramadan must arrive before that. Am I true?
Yes, of course. As you rightly mentioned, the preparation for the holy month of Ramadan is not only in the holy month of Sha'ban or Rajab, but it also extends to the other months. Actually, we have a different kind of fasting in Islam, you know.
Very good.
Just one type of fasting is performed in the holy month of Ramadan, but in the rest of the months also we fast. Like what? Like, for example, we have fasting for our eyes. Fasting of eyes is this, that we should not see and watch whatever we wish, whatever we want.
Yes.
The forbidden thing, the prohibited thing should not be seen, should not be watched. Always we should take care, we should be cautious about our eyes, you know. So this is the fasting of our eyes.
Yes.
And we have fasting for our ears. Mm-hmm. We should not listen to each and everything. Even, yes, in the rest of the months, we should not listen to haram things.
Okay.
And for example, when it comes to the non-mahram or the strangers, it is said that you should not look at, for example, yes, or have even a glance at the non-mahram,
stranger, non-mahram strangers. Women, yeah. That's right, or men, that's right.
And we have, for example, fasting for our tongue.
Uh-huh.
We should always fast by our tongue. It, yes, means that we should not use bad language or insult others or, mm-hmm, curse others, you know.
These are not directly called fasting or psalm.
It is a kind of control, you know.
But it is a, yes, control over our body organs, yeah, in order to have a better experience.
No,
in
technically,
the
it's not. Technically, right, it is, okay, not, or jurisprudentially, it's not termed as fast, but it's reality, it is fasting. Because, yes, in fast, when you fast, for example, you not eat and not drink.
Uh-huh.
When you fast by your tongue, you should not say some things.
Yes.
You know, when you fast by your ears, you should not listen to some things. When, okay, you fast by your eyes, you should not watch and see some things. So these are, for example, you can fast by your feet. You, okay, should not walk. You should not go the places which is haram, which is forbidden.
Yes.
You should fast by your hands. It, yes, means that you have to control. You have to control on your hands. Not, for example, oppress others, not to do wrong things with your hands.
Yes.
So whatever you have fasting for your hearts, your with your mind, you should not even think of bad things, evil,
okay,
things. You should not think, okay, of evil kind of
things. And all these things must,
yeah,
be done before,
yeah,
the start
before
of month
the
of
holy
Ramadan.
Month of Ramadan.
That's right. Okay.
In all the rest of the months, we are fasting, and actually, uh-huh, Muslim is always fasting because purification, okay, in Islam is the main objective of this religion, mm-hmm, to purify Muslim.
Very good.
Both bodily, physically, that, yes, we have some rituals to be observed, and also mentally and spiritually. The most objective of purification in Islam, or tahara al-fiqhiyya,
yes,
is important. But the main objective of this tahara al-fiqhiyya, jurisprudential purification, is that to purify, to clean your heart,
yes,
your mind, your, yes, mentality, your spirit,
okay,
from the evil things.
Yes.
So that's why the holy month of Ramadan is a kind of practicing for,
yes,
purification.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that when, for example, the holy month of Ramadan ends,
uh-huh,
of course, some of the things becomes permissible for you, but the rest of the things are always there, and you have,
yes,
to,
okay,
practice these kind of fastings that I mentioned,
very good,
in the rest of the months, so that your soul remain purified.
Yes.
Because whenever we die, we will be taken into the presence of our Lord.
Yes.
since Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, yes, mutlaq pure, absolute pure, yes, then the soul which is pure can be taken into the presence of the Lord.
Okay.
The soul which is not pure, it will be taken to the hell,
mm-hmm,
not to the heaven.
Yes.
So that's why we must
to enter the holy month, yeah, of Ramadan.
Yeah, that's why we
purity
must be always, we must,
that's
be always ready, okay, and fully prepared that we,
yes,
might be taken to the presence of our Lord.
Yes.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
We are invited to a party, Brother Habib, to we can say banquet, and then we dress well. Isn't it?
It is.
We try to dress well.
I've seen mystics, you know, try to put this forward, that it comes from the khutbah that I mentioned about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, that we have been invited to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's table spread.
Banquet.
Yes.
A banquet table.
Ila dhiyafati Allah ta'ala.
Yes.
And when you go there, you must be, you know, in the proper
shape. Style. That's right.
You know, and you know, you must not look like a hobo when going there. You should be respectful. You know, wearing respectful clothes, being in a respectful manner.
Yes.
Towards the person inviting.
This is the outfit, but what about inside?
That's the similarity.
Yes.
You know that. You have to be clean, you know, at least be ready,
uh-huh,
to cleanse yourself. You're not in that status of cleanse yet.
Yes.
But you're getting ready there. Mentally, you're starting to think about how you're going to do it and preparing for that night, mm-hmm, which is Laylatul Qadr.
Yes.
You know how much importance people give towards New Year's? We have in the sayings that the new year of believers is Laylatul. So we will elaborate more on this topic, hopefully on another show,
okay,
on another episode. But at the end of the day, you must be prepared.
Yes.
Know what you're going to do. Program well. Not only for your food, mm-hmm, and how you're going to eat,
huh,
and the vitamins that you need to take, but what supplications are you going to recite? What are you, uh-huh, going to do? How are you going to recite the Quran? How many times a day? Make your goals reachable, you,
yes,
know, and make your goals worthy. And of course, going down with the, you know, general guidelines.
Is it good to write some plans for ourselves in advance, like a warm-up?
I mean, personally, I don't write them down. I sit down and think about them.
Think about them.
People
right.
are different. So
okay.
people like to write them down. People like to record them with voice,
uh-huh,
notes. I know a person,
okay,
who actually,
okay,
does that. So at the end of the day, people are different.
Right.
But you know, just, you know, getting yourself ready, scheduling yourself, you know, making your dates correct, you know, getting the right stuff in order and proper,
mm-hmm,
leaving out any distractions.
Okay, so planning for this month before it getting started, Sheikh Rouhani, is a good step in order to become more familiar with the essence of the holy month of Ramadan. This is important, isn't it? I mean, superficially,
yes,
we are hungry, we are thirsty, but if you want to get to the core of the holy month of Ramadan, you have to prepare yourself before its arrival, isn't it?
Yes, of course. We have to actually practice fasting. Sometimes, for example,
uh-huh,
some days
good.
Of holy month of Rajab, some days,
yes,
of holy month of Sha'ban is really,
yes,
recommended to be fasted by the Muslims and Mu'mineen. That's a very good practice. And also,
it is a warm-up.
Yeah, of course.
Life.
But the important point is that, unfortunately, some of the Mu'mineen, when, for example, the holy month of Ramadan finishes, they think that, okay, everything finishes, that now we are allowed to do, for example,
whatever we like.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That is wrong. You know,
okay,
the holy month of Ramadan is a kind of remindering,
mm-hmm,
for us. It's a reminder.
Yes.
That reminds us that, okay, you Muslims, you should not forget that always you are in the state of fasting, as I mentioned.
Yes.
And some kind of fasting should be observed always, not,
yes,
only in the holy month of Ramadan.
Right, yeah.
Holy month of Ramadan is just a kind of remindering, or,
yes,
a kind of thing that warns
right.
us that,
okay,
yeah, this is the way you have to live in this one.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. And Brother Habib, you know, spiritually speaking, the people needs warm-up too. Like a sportsman who wants to get into the match or into the field, you know, he needs some warm-up. We need a warm-up. Are there any special recommendations, for example, beside fasting, practically speaking? You fast, okay? So not get into the holy month of Ramadan straight and direct, it will be very much difficult for you. For example, any abstinence or any recommended action, dua or something, is it?
Other than, you know, you yourself getting ready to recite the Quran, there is no, I haven't seen a specific narration.
Okay.
You know, at the end of the day, when you know that this month is a vital month, you should be getting ready to understand the supplications that you want to recite, understand, getting used to, you know, reading the Quran. Sometimes people only read the Quran when? In the holy month of Ramadan. Other than the holy month of Ramadan, no one opens the Quran.
Yes.
So during this time, you know, like at least a couple of days before, you know, start to recite the small chapters a little bit more, getting used to, you know, reciting the Quran, putting a specific time for that. And, you know, start to look at the ad'iyah or the supplications available that are, you know, that you start getting used to reading. Because, you know, when you go in right away and you, for example, you're reciting the Quran for 2 hours a day, supplications for 2 hours a day, you'll get bored. You'll break. You'll break down.
That's right.
Take it step by step. Gradually raise yourself to the precise levels that you want. And inshallah ta'ala, you will keep us in your prayers.
Inshallah. Thank you very much, Brother Habib and Shaykh Rouhani. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to prepare in a good way for the arrival of the holy month of Ramadan, to enter this banquet or ziyafatullah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was very kind of you, and thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Call of Islam page to another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life, ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way. Hey, I know that sometimes I do forget that my next breath could be the last. Forgive me, cause I can't thank you.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends, and let us listen to a thought-stimulating statement from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him. The tongue is surely the key to every good and evil. You should seal your tongue as you seal your money. The Prophet had said, "May Allah's mercy be upon the faithful believer who withholds his tongue from uttering any evil, for this would be an act of charity by him for his own self, since no one will be saved from committing sins before he seals his tongue."
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Less than 2 weeks after launching its genocide on the Gaza Strip, the Israeli military committed one of the most heinous atrocities in modern history. Back on October 18th, a huge blast rocked the Al-Ahli hospital compound in Gaza, which was packed with thousands of Palestinians seeking shelter from the Israeli strikes. According to Palestinian health officials, more than 470 people were killed in that incident. Most of the victims were defenseless civilians who had taken shelter at the hospital and its surrounding areas. At the time, they had no idea that the Israeli regime might target hospitals. Hospitals and clinics have special protections under international law, and the deliberate targeting of these facilities is a clear violation of these principles. As usual, the Israeli army first denied that it was behind the attack. Later, the regime and its Western allies, including the United States and Canada, claimed that the explosion was caused by an errant rocket fired by the armed group Palestinian Islamic Jihad. However, independent investigations by various media sources have debunked this propaganda. The New York Times conducted a thorough analysis of video footage from the night of October 17th, which clearly showed that the missile seen in the video, supposedly fired by Palestinian fighters, did not cause the explosion at the hospital. Instead, it detonated in the sky, approximately 2 miles away. It was, in fact, a missile fired by the Israeli military that caused a devastating explosion.
According to all feeds and videos analyzed, this rocket was intercepted and was the last one launched from Gaza before the bombing of the hospital. 5 seconds after that interception, an explosion in Gaza can be seen, followed 2 seconds later by a much larger explosion. This is the strike that hit Al-Ahli Arab Hospital. As a result, Al Jazeera digital investigations team found no grounds to the Israeli army claim that the strike on the Al-Ahli Arab Hospital in Gaza was caused by a failed rocket launch.
But Al-Ahli Hospital was not the last hospital targeted by the Israeli military during its onslaught in Gaza. According to a report by Human Rights Watch in 2023, Israeli military has repeatedly and unlawfully attacked medical facilities, personnel, and transport, further destroying Gaza's healthcare system. The report says that these attacks should be investigated as war crimes, as they violated international humanitarian law.
Because every society has the right to have a healthcare system, and that's why the healthcare system is protected by the Geneva Convention. And the fourth Geneva Convention is utterly clear, has always been. And that's why these attacks on healthcare that are so well documented and the most extreme, the most brutal examples are the situations like we have in Nasser Medical Complex now, where they're shooting and killing staff and patients inside. and the situation we had in the West Bank, where they again dressed up like doctors, fake doctors, and relatives coming, and hid their weapons and went into this room and shot and killed this patient who was actually immobilized, this Palestinian young man, and his two companions. Killed him, executed him and his two companions under the disguise of being medical personnel. The reason why this is so serious and why it is not stopped is so serious is that it threatens the immunity of the healthcare system and the safe network, the safety network that the healthcare system provides to people around the world.
On January 31st, an undercover Israeli death squad posing as Palestinians brazenly infiltrated a hospital in the occupied West Bank, resulting in the assassination of three Palestinians, one of whom was a partially paralyzed patient. Surveillance footage captured the alarming scene as approximately a dozen Israeli special forces raided Ibn Sina Hospital in the northern city of Jenin. Disguised as Palestinian medical personnel and civilian women, they brandished rifles while navigating through the corridors, perpetrating this shocking act in broad daylight. According to the World Health Organization, Israel has conducted nearly 400 attacks on healthcare facilities in the Gaza Strip, including on every single one of its hospitals, leaving the majority non-functional as of February 12. This illustration, published by the WHO, details the Israeli strikes on healthcare facilities in the Gaza Strip. According to the report by the World Health Organization, at least 659 people have lost their lives and more than 840 others injured in Israeli attacks as of February 12. Nearly 100 ambulances have been targeted, with more than 50 destroyed by the Israeli missiles. As of February 12, only 11 out of 36 hospitals in Gaza are partially functioning, 5 in the north and 6 in the south. According to the World Health Organization, hospital bed capacity across all of Gaza has now been reduced from 3,500 to just 1,400. But this is just the tip of the iceberg, and the disaster seems to be much worse. Médecins Sans Frontières, MSF, is one of the international organizations actively working in Gaza despite Israeli attacks. Doctors Without Borders has already lost several staff members in recent months as a result of Israeli attacks. In the most recent attack, the Israeli military deliberately targeted an MSF shelter in Gaza, killing two people and wounding several others. As an international charity organization, MSF is committed to independence, neutrality, and impartiality, as it only seeks to provide medical services to vulnerable people across the world, especially those trapped in conflicts and war zones. According to MSF, the Israeli military systematically targets health facilities in Gaza. Médecins Sans Frontières deplores a situation in which people have been left with no options to go for treatment in case of a large influx of war-wounded patients. These systematic attacks against healthcare are unacceptable and must end now so that the wounded can get the care they need. The entire health system has been rendered inoperative. As a matter of fact, the targeting of hospitals in Gaza by the Israeli military has tragically become an everyday occurrence. Just recently, a harrowing voice message was sent by a Palestinian capturing the horrifying sounds of Israeli bombing echoing from Nasser Hospital in Rafah.
About what's happening here in Nasser Hospital, there was direct bombing to the hospital. They forced people inside the hospital, including patients, relatives. Oh, ya Allah. Patients, relatives, and healthcare workers to evacuate immediately. And you can hear in the background the continuous bombing in the hospital.
This blatant act of aggression saw Israeli soldiers storming the hospital in broad daylight, a clear violation of international laws governing the protection of medical facilities and personnel during armed conflict.
Israeli soldiers and tanks continue to shoot and bomb in the nearby area, inside and outside the hospital. We hear the tanks moving inside the hospital. We cannot look through the window.
The extent of attacks by the Israeli military leaves no doubt that the regime is deliberately and systematically targeting the medical centers in Gaza. Israel is now directly targeting medical staff in Gaza. But why is Israel destroying hospitals and deliberately targeting doctors and medical staff in Gaza?
Is that not only is Israel systematically targeting medical facilities, but they are targeting medical professionals. And Israel's objective in targeting medical professionals is to cripple the health sector by killing an entire generation of doctors, to the extent that building the hospitals after the genocide would not even suffice to restore the health sector. I mean, it's such an unspeakable thing, but this is all part of Israel's goal to make Gaza completely uninhabitable and compelling Palestinians to leave the Gaza Strip, which is one of Israel's ultimate war goals.
Such brazen attacks come amid the unequivocal support from Israel's staunch allies, including the United States and its European supporters, who have not only remained silent, but also supplied Israel with deadly weapons and ammunition to continue its genocide in Gaza.
My point is that it's horrible, and the most horrible thing about what is going on in Nasser Hospital now is that this has been going on for 4 months without no power stopping it. So I don't know. I think the Israelis, with their impunity, they just keep going because no military force or political force or international alliance of decent nations are able to stop them. The only one who can stop them is the United States, and they don't want to stop them. They continue to supply them with political support and weapons. So this madness is a result of a deliberate politics, a deliberate policy from the United States, and unfortunately also from many of the European governments.
The United Nations has repeatedly condemned Israel's attacks on civilian targets, including hospitals in Gaza. In 2023, the UN Human Rights Council adopted a resolution that condemned Israel's attacks on hospitals and called for an independent investigation into the attacks. However, the resolution has not been implemented, as Israel enjoys impunity thanks to the unwavering support from its staunch ally, the United States, and other Western countries. The recent U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza has once again underscored the hypocrisy of those who claim to champion human rights and has highlighted the inefficacy of international organizations in addressing Israel's occupation regime. It has become evident that only through alliances among independent nations can we hope to halt such atrocities.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners, salamu alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. From Iran, you're listening to this program. We're going to speak about preparing for the month of Ramadan.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air.
Ramadan, month of the Quran. I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan.
But first, we look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 28th of the month of Sha'ban, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Isfand, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's start with verse 81. Of chapter An-Nisa from the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويقولون طاعة فإذا برزوا من عندك بيت طائفة منهم غير الذي تقول والله يكتب ما يبيتون فأعرض عنهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا.
And they say, we pledge obedience. But when they leave you, a group of them spend the night determining to do other than what you say. But Allah records what they plan by night. So leave them alone and rely upon Allah. And sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, the Quran has pointed to the situation of some hypocrites. It says that when they come beside the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, they harmonize with others and express that they obey the command of the Holy Prophet. But when go out from the presence of the Prophet, they neglect their promises, and in their night meetings, they make some decisions against the Holy Prophet. Yet Allah commands his messenger to turn aside from them with no fear. He is ordered not to rely on them in his affairs, but to trust only in Allah, who is the best assisting helper and the protector.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا رب يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
As I told you, we're going to speak about preparing for the month of Ramadan. As the holy month of Ramadan draws near, all of us are busy working, getting on with our daily routines, forgetting the importance of preparation. It's vital that Muslims prepare the same way you would for an interview or an event. By doing this, you are attaining blessings from the very beginning till the end, instead of losing focus and the importance of fasting. Fasting is not just about the prohibition of food and drink. It is much more than that. It's a spiritual journey for ourselves and the ability to keep away from desires. The strength of our iman or faith is tested, and you are increasing your closeness with Allah to help with the arrangements you should start to prepare before the month of Ramadan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. This is Ali, and we are going to talk about the etiquettes of entering the blessed month of Ramadan. In Islamic culture and the narrations of religious leaders, there are etiquettes and rituals for the beginning of every lunar month that strengthen the connection between the creation and the creator, keep the remembrance of Allah alive in memories, and place man under the protection of his eternal power. Undoubtedly, this attention causes the solving of many problems and the avoidance of afflictions and harms. Among all the months, none compares to the glorious month of Ramadan, month of Allah's feast and hospitality, the best hospitality of the kind Lord. And this blessed month is the Holy Quran, which was revealed in this month. What better hospitality than the host sending a book for his guest that contains all human happiness? On the other hand, it is the month in which Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny, lies, a night in which the fate of mankind for 1 year is determined according to their merits. Likewise, it is the spring of worship, the month of education and training, purity and piety, and righteousness and self-building. Therefore, the blessed month of Ramadan is one of the most precious months or times that we have, and properly benefiting from it, including entering this month, requires sufficient knowledge and understanding of its values. One cannot welcome the blessed month of Ramadan without preparation. There must always be readiness from both the host and the guest. The host must prepare the hospitality, and the guest must prepare themselves in clothes and cleanliness. Since Allah's mercy is all-encompassing and endless, He is always ready to host. It is us who must prepare ourselves with etiquette and prerequisites mentioned in narrations to benefit the most from this precious opportunity and Allah's hospitality.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
Be with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every day for 15 minutes.
ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد.
This is today's special and getting spiritually ready for the month of Ramadan. Performing more acts of worship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during Ramadan brings great rewards. Prepare for Ramadan spiritually by spending some time beforehand perfecting your prayer and Quran recitation. Build up your confidence by leading prayer amongst your family and friends. Encourage yourself to recite more Quran during the day and make your prayer, both obligatory and recommended one, more spiritually fulfilling. Likewise, make finding recitation time easier on yourself by reading the Quran after prayer. Even if it's looking at the translation and listening to a recitation, any effort to improve your understanding of the Holy Quran will surely bring you closer to Allah.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الله الله يا ربي يا الله الله يا ربي يا الله
By the way, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this part, we'll look at recommending du'as for the month of Ramadan. One of the du'as is du'a makarimul akhlaq, the honorable morals. This du'a has been taught by our fourth imam, Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, and is a clear indication of the loftiness of moral virtues expected of a believer. Islam believes in the elevation of the human being, that the human is a great and dignified creation, far above the animal world. One of the signs of this dignity is the possession of noble and magnanimous qualities. In order to achieve this behavioral excellence, man needs to overcome his base and selfish attributes and cultivate noble qualities. In this dua, the Imam Sajjad specifies these qualities and shows how we can try to inculcate them in ourselves. Taken as a lesson in akhlaq, the dua is a wonderful program for those who wish to excel in good manners. Muhammad al-Mustafa, the last prophet of Allah, peace be upon him and his family, says, "The most complete in faith among the believers is he who has the best manners." Sayyid Saleh al-Ghazwini.
Like everything else, brothers and sisters, the month of Ramadan requires preparation for. It is not an event that should be taken lightly or one that we should just turn our attention to as it begins. Because sometimes we find ourselves in this situation, right? Suddenly we realize, you know, the moon has been, the crescent has been sighted. Ramadan, the month of Ramadan is here. And I begin my journey of spirituality with the beginning of the month. Now this is great. This is excellent. But like many other things in life, in order to fully appreciate, in order to fully take advantage of the month of Ramadan, we need to prepare ourselves in advance. We work towards purifying our souls. We work towards purifying our souls. What does this mean? You know, some of us, the question might come up, what's so important? We always hear about this idea of purifying the soul, purifying the soul. Why is this important? Why is there so much emphasis placed on this notion of purifying the soul? Simply, the simple answer to this, brothers and sisters, is that our souls are the receptacles of divine guidance. They are the receptacles of divine guidance. It is our soul that is able to either absorb or reject divine guidance and mercy. It's the receptacle, right? And so it is important for this receptacle, in order to be fully utilized and so that it can fully absorb God's mercy, God's compassion, God's blessings, that it has to be pure.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special. I invite you to listen and follow us on parstoday.ir/en. There is a tab there, Call of Islam Radio. By selecting that, you can see the archive of all of our programs. And of course, it's nice to follow today's special. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
Subhanaka Rabbi, Subhanak, Subhanaka ma azama shanak,
ندعوك ونرجو غفرانك ندعوك ونرجو غفرانك ربي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.